Hello, welcome to episode 7 of Chump Change. In this episode, we are going to be reviewing Digibyte, which is DGB. You guys voted for it on our Twitter poll, so we're going to do it. You there, Luke?
Yeah, I'm here. I just want to say a thank you for everyone who voted, especially the Digibyte community. They really came out and supported their project, so yeah, good on you.
It's actually surprising. Initial thoughts? What's your thoughts on Digibyte?
Very good. I was surprising. I didn't know much about it before this week. It seems like a very, very solid project that's been around for a long time, and it should have a lot more traction. That's my first impression.
I can't believe that I didn't know more about it. If I'm honest. Initially I love it. I just got to do a bit of a quick shout out as well. So we cheekily asked on our podcast, on our tweet, somebody to send us some Digibyte just so we could kind of get a feel for it. And you guys did. So that's amazing.
Yeah, thanks.
So Crypto Tigre, so that's at Crypto Tigre. Crypto with an I rather than a Y. And Just Good Stuff 11. You guys sent us some Digibyte. So on this episode, we're just going to try sending a little bit to each other live on the podcast, just to get a feel of the ease of it and the speed of it. So thanks again for that.
Yeah, big thanks.
Yeah, amazing. So first, I'll do a bit of an introduction. What is Digibyte? So it's a worldwide decentralized payment network and digital currency. And this was originally inspired by Bitcoin. And it actually just allows you to move money over the internet, similar to things like PayPal or, you know, like Western Union. And the fees are so small and it's stupidly fast. Mm. Do you have any other take on it, Luke?
Yeah, right. So like you mentioned, it's basically a payment system. So a pure cryptocurrency. That it really focuses on security, decentralization, and speed. These are the three main components of this cryptocurrency. It was founded in 2014, so it's actually one of the older cryptocurrency projects out there. However, despite its age and the kind of development over the past few years, it's still pretty unknown, isn't it, Rob?
Well, it was unknown to us, but doing my research, I've kind of seen how big the community is. So it's definitely known. Mm. It just doesn't have mainstream attention, maybe.
Right. I feel like it should. I read quite a few articles on Digibytes for this podcast, and I think almost every article had Digibyte, a sleeping giant, ? So I think that signals that while it has a lot of respect in the community overall, it is an unknown for many, many newbies out there.
Yeah.
So
brilliant. So I just put down some possible use cases for it as well. So Digibyte tip seems to be quite a popular thing where people are tipping on, or I don't know if this is in production yet, but I've seen a lot of people talking about it. It's where you can tip people on Twitter, Reddit, Twitch, and YouTube by just writing a hashtag of Digibyte tip. No idea how that's going to work. Digibyte gaming, so League of Legends, which is a game, you can get paid in Digibytes for playing it.
I think as well Minecraft too. They're not in partnership with Minecraft, but they have some kind of a way to pay Minecraft gamers some Digibytes for doing tasks or something like that too.
Right, okay.
And that's a huge game, Minecraft.
Yeah. DigiSign, which is smart contracts, and they can be sent on the Digibyte blockchain. Apparently, this will revolutionize how we copyright and patent things.
Okay.
But that's kind of looking down the line. There's also a Digibyte store, which only accepts Digibyte. And if you go on www.digibytemarket.com, you can see what you can buy with your Digibyte. Which is crazy, kind of just one a website and a marketplace just dedicated to Digibyte. That's pretty crazy. And you can get it in Bittrex, Poloniex. Did I say that right? Poloniex.
No. Poloniex.
Poloniex. Oh, Jesus. KuCoin and Cryptopedia. There's probably more. But Bittrex is probably going to be the big one, and Poloniex.
Yeah, Bittrex especially. It's not on Binance yet, which is a bit of a shame, actually. Because Binance is by far the most popular and the most widely used exchange.
Do people still use Bittrex? Because when we started, it was all about Bittrex,
yeah,
wasn't it?
Yeah, they do. I think it's still a very popular exchange, but Binance has really taken over the lead.
And yeah. Do you use it? I still use it.
I don't use Bittrex anymore. No, I have an account. It's just nothing in there. So I use Binance, though. I think Binance is much more user-friendly, and it has far more coins to trade.
And cheaper fees.
Yeah. Yeah, I like Binance a lot, actually.
So
should we take a look at some of the tech behind it?
Yeah, go for it.
So
yeah.
Some things that make it stand out over other cryptocurrencies is its proof of work algorithm. So actually, when Digibyte first launched, it had the same proof of work as Bitcoin. However, it had a few hard forks, from what I gather. And actually, the mining has now been split into 5 different algorithms. Now, I'm not a tech geek, so I can't really go into much more detail than that. However, like, everything I've read talks about how splitting it up into 5 different algorithms encourages decentralization and increases the security on the network. Yeah. And of course, Bitcoin only has 1, so this breaking up to 5, I think that's an advantage for Digibyte. Another thing I think is really, really amazing is that a new block is mined every 15 to 18 seconds. I think for Bitcoin, it's about 10 minutes. So that's a big, a huge difference in speed. Right.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. One more thing. Digibyte was also the first coin to implement segregated witness, SegWit, which is used now on Litecoin and on Bitcoin. But Digibyte was the first one to do it, actually. So,
whoa, I didn't come across that in my research.
Credit to them. They must be a very innovative team, and they're top of their game.
Wow. Should we do a sample and try and send some Bitcoin, send some Digibyte to each other?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, let's do that, because one of the key points is speed, right? So let's see how fast it actually is. Let's check it out. So I have my iOS wallet, and Rob, you have your Android, is it?
That's right, yeah.
All right.
Okay, so patience with me while I navigate my way through. The app seems, you know, the official Android app for Digibyte, the wallet, sorry, seems so straightforward. So I'm just going to go ahead.
Yeah, I want to say as well, the iOS one was super easy to install and create, and it looks great. It looks really user-friendly and looks pretty cool, actually. So excited to see how fast this is.
Okay, so luckily I have some Digibyte from you guys to send. So, right, I'm hitting send right now. Oh, no, sorry, I got to put in my PIN first. So, okay, sent.
And just got it. Wow.
That's amazing. Fast. That is amazing.
That was about half a second.
I love that satisfying sound of a coin as well.
Yeah, well done. This is a super nice wallet as well.
Very, very impressed.
Yeah, right. And again, the speed and the ease of it is just so user-friendly and accessible. Again, compared to Bitcoin, which, you know, I got to say, I am a lover of Bitcoin, a big fan, but Digibyte it ticks so many boxes. So I got a little chart here which compares Bitcoin and Digibyte. So in terms of scalability, Bitcoin can do 4 transactions per second, where Digibyte can do 280 currently, and actually they're predicting it can do 2,000 by 2020. So incredible. And this is to do with speed, right? This, all these transactions going through the blockchain kind of influence the speed.
Yeah.
So, and also more scalable. But Bitcoin has 10-minute block times, where Digibyte has 15-second block times, so it makes it much quicker. And in terms of mining algorithms, Bitcoin just has 1, and Digibyte has 5, so making Digibyte more secure. The number of full nodes running the network, Bitcoin has 7,400, Digibyte has 43,000, which makes Digibyte more decentralized. And number of coins, Bitcoin has 21 million, Digibyte 21 billion, which is a huge difference, but it actually makes Digibyte more manageable. So then, for example, Rob just sent me just a couple Digibytes over, and you could do that for almost no fees, whereas Bitcoin, though, you know, send in a tiny amount of Bitcoin, can actually, the fees could actually be the same amount as the amount you're sending.
One thing, touching on the mineable side of things, I discovered as well it can be mined on just a normal everyday computer as well. So, I mean, that's how Bitcoin started.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if Digibyte would go the same way in terms of as it gets harder and needs more resource to mine.
Yeah.
But still, it's good that this is happening now when kind of cryptocurrency is becoming more popular, because people can start getting a taste for it themselves by mining it on their everyday computers. Well, you can do that now.
Read that the importance of this five algorithms that Digibyte has is that some of them can be used for ASIC miners, which are the big companies, mining farms, and some can be used for just typical people with CPUs and GPUs. So it gives a lot more security and a lot more decentralized if everyone can actually have a go at mining it.
That's great, yeah.
I think, Rob, you mentioned something earlier off there about Ripple, right?
It was one of my first thoughts, and it seems to be a lot of people kind of debating this as well, of XRP, or Ripple, against Digibyte. So they seem to be very similar, but in the fact that Ripple is more based for bank-to-bank transactions, and Digibyte is peer-to-peer. We've done a Ripple review a couple of podcasts back, and we commented on just this, the fact that, Ripple's great, and it's got some big names behind it, but it's not for the everyday person, really, is it?
Hmm.
Well, they don't want to, that's not the original point in it. Whereas Digibyte seems to be that send it to your friends, anybody, sort of now instantly kind of vibe to it. I don't know if I'm getting the wrong impression on that.
No, I think you're exactly right, actually. Another thing that kind of signals that as well is the fact that Digibyte is really decentralized. Ripple Labs currently own some large percentage of XRP. I think it's around 60-70%, which is crazy, right? So that makes it very, very centralized coin. Whereas Digibyte never had a pre-mine, it never had an ICO, so everything has been very organic, and which is the way it's supposed to be, right? This is the way that cryptocurrencies and blockchain should be, peer-to-peer organic money, right?
Yeah, and for those who kind of don't realize really the risks in Ripple holding the majority of XRP is the fact that they can really manipulate the price when they want to.
Yes, they could, yes.
Yeah, making it very centralized and kind of going against the nature of Bitcoin and everything of how it began.
Yeah, that's why Ripple has, I guess, a lot of hate from a lot of people in the community.
Like I said, I'm still a big fan of Ripple. I'm just also now a big fan of Digibyte.
All right, should we wrap this up with some overall thoughts, Rob?
Yeah, I think it's great. I'm definitely going to start investing into it. Definitely doing a bit more research. I'm even going to try and mine a little bit myself. I'm just really impressed. I think we're going to put a wallet address on our Twitter. As the community is so amazing for Digibyte. If you like this, just send us a little bit of Digibyte. Because we're big fans now. We're big fans. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, sure. So the community really stands out to me. So like we put up a poll, Digibyte community really came in and took over, and it wasn't even close in the end. And after that, I went onto their Reddit, I went onto the Steemit, the discussions around it is amazing. It had a lot of very passionate supporters of the project. And that's really essential to a good currency. Another thing is the speed. it's outstanding, amazingly fast. When Rob sent it to me just now, I was shocked. Like, as soon as he said sent, I had it. That's insane. That's the way it should be. And I love the iOS wallet. Super easy to download, easy to use, very user friendly, and it looks badass.
Yeah. Same with Android. Exactly the same.
Yeah. Right. So I just have one negative thing to say is that it. And this might be just my opinion. I might be way wrong, but it seems to need to get some traction going. So it needs to get people talking about it. I'm not sure how it would do that, but because Digibyte is a bit more of a general cryptocurrency, like it's focusing on payment systems, whereas companies like Ripple, for example, focus on payments for bank to bank. Companies like Sia Coin focus on cloud mining. Where Digibyte is very general, and which is fine, totally fine, but it needs to get some more traction, I think. Get people talking about it, get people excited about it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, seeing as the community's so big, it's surprising that, you know, like I said before, we haven't heard that much. So we are trying to promote that a little bit as well. So,
yeah, no, definitely. I'm a huge fan.
So share this podcast with the community. That'd be absolutely amazing.
Yeah, it'd be really good. All right, everyone. Well, thanks for listening to this podcast. And thank you for sharing your Digibytes with us and giving us an opportunity to talk about it. We really appreciate it. We'll come back next week with some news, right, Rob? Until then, cheers. Thank you very much.
Thanks, guys. I'm just going to end this off with a quick disclaimer. Listen ahead, but like we always say, it's not financial advice.
Just a quick disclaimer, this is not financial advice. Everything we talk about is our own opinions and views. Before you make any investment decisions, just do your research first. Use your head, not your heart. Cheers.